3 o'clock this morning, I was up pretty early before the Lord. The night before, the same thing. You ever been troubled in spirit about something or someone?
Yes, sir.
And also excited at the same time that the Lord want to teach you something? This is one of the things that the Lord want me to encourage you all about, is to be sensitive to His Spirit. When God's Spirit say, get out the bed, get out the bed. And go and open the Word of God, because God is talking. Some will teach today that God is not talking. He only speaks in His Word. But that's not true, because Lord Jesus said that when the Comforter comes, He will teach you all things. How is He going to teach you? And how is He going to declare to you if He's not talking? The Word there tells you and I that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And we even seen it in one of the sermons where He even spoke in a prayer meeting. Say, set aside for me Saul and Barnabas. I mean, it must have blew them brothers away. I want you to know that Jesus is talking to you today. There is a powerful thing going on in the earth. And I need to remind you of something that is so precious right now, because if you watch the news media every day, Satan is using the news media to camouflage what God is actually doing in the earth.
Amen.
Because all it advertised, we're bombarded with shootings, we're bombarded with rapes, we're bombarded with bad politicians. Whatever the case is, the news is not good that's coming out of the media.
That's right.
But I'm here to tell you that great things are happening in the earth by God. Because I don't know if you're, I think I mentioned it to you that just a short while ago, and you may have forwarded it to me, 780,000 people got saved at one time. That's not an illusion. How would you like to partake in that baptism of today? Man, that's more than all the affair, Deke. I mean, you're doing some dunking. Amen?
Amen.
Some great things are happening. Demons are being defeated. Because every time a soul gets saved, Satan's hand been taken off that person. But yet, we, as God's people, want to focus on the negatives. We got to shift, folks.
Amen.
We have got to shift. And when you come in here, you got to shift your mind. I know sometime I want to talk about the events what took place last night. I want to talk about the events that took place yesterday. But you know what? I got to get a mindset of that I'm in the presence of God. And when I come in, God is expecting His son and His daughter to be attentive to Him, because what's flowing from the throne is nothing but the perfect love of God. Nothing but that. And I think it's no more than fair than giving Him that back. And I'm here to tell you that God is tweaking His house. I use that term. Tweaking means when you make adjustments. Am I right, Mr. Dave? To fine-tune something, to get it just right. In the old radios, we had to turn it on to get to the right frequency so we can hear it with clarity, right?
It's a radio.
Huh?
It's a radio.
Yeah, I mean, but your life as God's children right now is being tweaked or being adjusted by the Holy Spirit, because Lord Jesus is desiring to have you at a level of holiness that you've never been before. A level of the glory of God in you while you're on earth that you never had before. People tell you that you can't act a certain way or behave a certain way or be a certain way until you get to heaven. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that the Spirit of God is transforming us day by day into the image of Jesus. So something is changing. That means every day God is doing something different in me to tear off my way and put on the heavenly way so that I look just like Jesus. It doesn't matter if I'm Blake's age. It doesn't matter if I'm Mr. David's age or Miss Marie or a little man like this. Because do you know that even in Israel, a kid 8 years old was the king of Israel?
Oh, my goodness.
And he was a godly king. His name was Josiah. So don't tell me God can't use young babies. Yes, he can if you submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so what is this picture that's taking place? What is this adjustment? God, by the Holy Ghost, is bringing forth his true church.
That's right.
In other words, phony Christians will be separated from true Christians. Are you hearing me? And your life, by the Holy Spirit, is going to change and reflect the holiness of God in Christ Jesus. That you will be different.
Amen.
And the world will be able to look at you and me and say, oh, they're not the same. They are different. Okay? Even though you go to the same clothing store, okay, you don't buy clothes that make you look like you know what. Hello, somebody. Yet you go to the same grocery store as the world does. You go to the same gas station. You go to the same post office. You go to the same marketplace as the world. You go to the same schools, the same jobs, but yet your life is different.
That's right.
Because he is Jesus. And he is the Holy Spirit of God. He is filling God's people with the power of God. Yeah, somebody getting it. He is filling God's people. In the name of Jesus, y'all say there's power in it. It's not just a food, people. It is a living reality. That you have the same power and authority that I have. You can do the same thing that I do. You can walk into the gates of hell. I haven't seen you do it yet, but. And yet be untouched. And there's battles with God's Son of the Lord. That's when I want people like Deacon Clinton and Mr. David and others sitting around with the Spirit teaching you good things. So I just say, can you see what God is doing right now? Can you see what's going on? Do you know, Sinks? Do you know that you are on trial every day in heaven? Do you know that the word adversary, it means, here's how it's pronounced, anti, and it's spelled like that too in the Greek, A-N-T-I-D-O-K-O-S, antidokos. Do you know what it means? It means anti-righteous. The adversary who's anti-righteous takes you to court, the high court of God, every day. Revelation 12 says that the accusers of the brothers stand before God day and night accusing you and me. So I went and did some homework, and let me tell you, it blew my mind what the Lord showed me. That the church got to wake up now. We got to see that every day there's an enemy before God, our creator, God, our Redeemer, want you to fail. Here's what's happening. Satan goes, and he's being fed information about you and about me every day from his demons. And you know what happens? Every time you try to get a prayer up, that prayer either goes through or is blocked. Okay, let me explain. The adversary has a legal right to block your prayers. if you are living in sin. The word adversary, an opponent in a legal matter. That is the finest definition from the Greek. An opponent in legal matters. Otherwise, he's gone to court with a legal claim. God, look what she's doing. God, look what he's doing. And you have no idea here on earth. And you know what? The Bible tells you that God is one. God is one. God is just. And God is fair. So the enemy has the right to that which is what? His. So when you and I do things that are contrary to the word of Christ, the enemy have access to that. And when he does, he takes that to the throne of God and says, look. Look what he has done. Look what he's doing. And you're going to do what for him? He stands there and he opposes you before God. But here's the good news. The Bible also says there's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is the advocate of God for the human race, those who love him. As the enemy stands there, and by the way, I looked up the term there. Satan is the prosecutor. The Greek word tells us that he's also the prosecutor. He wants you to be sentenced. He wants you to pay for that sin. Do you hear me? But then Jesus being the advocate, the defense counselor, he stands before his Father. And he lets the enemy talk, and when he finished talking, Jesus said, oh, but they're covered in the blood. Oh, y'all not getting it. But they're covered in the blood. I took the nail, that crime, that sin with me on the cross. As it says over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, that he took the handwriting, the ordinances that was against us, and nailed it to the tree. So every time the enemy comes up against you with something in heaven, Jesus stands and says, it's under the blood.
Thank you, God.
It's under the blood. Now, if it's unrepented sin, all Jesus can pray for is that for you to repent. That God will be gracious towards you and merciful towards you to give you the opportunity to repent. Because God is here. Are you hearing? Just as the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 59, verse 2, he said, your iniquities, your crimes against God has caused God not to hear you. And the adversary stands there to make sure I knew you're not listening to that God. And to say, and your sins have hid his face from you. So this is the tweaking that's going on in the house of the Lord, the church of Jesus Christ on earth, by the Holy Ghost right now. The Holy Spirit is showing the church its sin. Oh, y'all better listen to this. The Holy Spirit is showing the church its sin. Why? Because in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that Jesus is coming back for a church without blemish, without spot, and without wrinkle. Let's break that down. Blemish means that there's a birth defect in you, that is something wrong with you. What's a spot? Any little matter that can cause somebody to say, you're not perfect. Oh, no, I don't want to buy that. You ever went to go buy something and had a spot on it? A garment, a shirt or something, and you tell the person at the register, say, can you discount this? Well, God don't discount. Listen to me. Because the Bible says Jesus is coming back for a church without blemish, without spot, and without wrinkle. What does that mean? The garment looks okay, but if you look close enough, there are some wrinkle spots in it. So it's still not okay. That means that's that little stuff that you have in your life that you know that's wrong before God, and you're hoping to slide on by. Hello. Come on. I don't know why the Holy Ghost having me do this to you, but you need to hear that, because God wants holiness along with his children.
Amen.
It is time, folks. Let me tell you, I wish you could feel what's in my heart. It's time that we praise Jesus, as Paul in his letter to Timothy said, let all those who name the name of Jesus depart from iniquity. That means stop sinning and walk away from it. And walk back to God in Christ Jesus. Stop it. Because God loves you too much to leave you in that condition. And there's a real battle, babies. How many have ever been before a judge?
I've been there as a witness. I've been
as a police officer with the report. So,
yep, it is. Get it, Your Honor.
And you know what? Scary. What would be your defense before God? If you don't get it right down here, what would be your defense? It won't be. So we're a blessed people. We are truly blessed that we don't have to appear before the judge of heaven and give an account for our sins, because Jesus have done that for us. As we walk in holiness, teach these babies holiness. I tell my younger kids, and my wife tell them all the time, lying is not from God.
Amen.
Lying is from the devil. Jesus said in John chapter 8 that he called Satan out for what he really is, everybody. He said, you are the liar and the father of the lie. And all of this you know is a lie.
That's right.
Even though Jesus was talking to men, he was also talking to Satan. Called him out. Called the fear of Israel. And so, it's not to beat you up, it is to help you grow up. Amen?
Amen.
Because Jesus loves you. Sin is bad. It's awful before God, who's holy. It really is. And let me tell you, it's not just for you sitting out there. It cuts me more here. Because you're not there when God gets me in the midnight hour. And he said, come here, boy. Uh-oh. And the Spirit revealed, this is what you did. And you're going, God, how you know that? He's God. Amen? He knows all things. Now, how did that tie into what we're getting ready to have today? Folks, in Acts chapter 15, you're about to see some people come in, and they're going to oppose God's true apostles, the apostles of Jesus Christ. And these false delegates that came down from Jerusalem, they had to go up to Antioch, because Antioch is north on the Syrian coast. They went up teaching that Gentiles had to be circumcised in order to be saved. So they was opposing the gospel that Paul and Barnabas was preaching, the true gospel. And they was causing a state of confusion among God's people, the Gentiles. And now, because they had done this thing, men of great report of the Holy Ghost, Paul and Barnabas, they got to make a trip to Jerusalem and stand before the other apostles. No, and this is called the Jerusalem Council for the church. and know how to explain what's been going on. And what you're going to see is one of the old-fashioned men of God going to stand up in the defense of the Gentiles. His name is Peter. And he's going to defend the Gentile church. And you're going to see that council of brothers, the ruling authority of the church on earth. You're going to see that council make decisions that is still in effect today. They are. Those decisions are still in effect. They have not changed. But there are people out there that's going to do their very best to teach you wrong things about the gospel of Jesus Christ and about your walk with the Lord. There are people out there that want to intentionally deceive you and tell you, no, that's not the way it is. That's old-fashioned. That's dated. And they use a little funny word called antiquated. Dust it off, and every now and then we go look at it, but we don't sit in it.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yep.
And you know what we do with antiquated cars? We take them in cars and spend all kinds of money on them. We put them in the garage and put a cover over them and put our brand new car out in the weather. That's what we do. But that's not what God says. The word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It does not change. Nor does it lose its power. It's still called sin, sin. It's still called wrong, wrong. It's still called right, right.
That's how it is.
And so, these men, teenagers, they came to the gospel. And Paul has something to say about that.
You're going to see that in a little bit.
What do you have to say about somebody else coming, preaching and teaching, and living gospel in the spirit? Honestly, I spent over 2 hours with another brother in a church that had false doctrine. And let me tell you, I really got it nervous for you. You be careful who you listen to. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, you better run and get yourself out of there. And you better stay away from it. Because it's designed to pull you down to the pits of hell. It's not designed to save you. Only the word of God, as Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5, when he was rebuking the Pharisees, he said, you study the scriptures, and you think you find eternal life in them. He said, but it's they that testify of me. What does that mean? Jesus said, yes, study the word of God, but it's not the word that saves you, it's me. And so the word takes and it points you to me. That's what the word of God is for. It points us to the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus himself.
And so it's still here, study this word.
They've got you on a fast track right up into the presence of Jesus. Amen? So that's what we need to do. It's for. That was just an introduction. Is that okay?
Yes.
Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you, and we thank you, and we glorify your holy name. Lord Jesus, on the night in which you were betrayed, you asked your Father to do something so wonderful for the apostles, for the disciples that you would leave behind. And not only for him, but the disciples that they would also make. And then little disciples, all the way down to the last disciples that will be made by your Spirit. You said, Father, sanctify them in your truth, for your word is true.
And so, Lord, we're here to not only to hear your truth, but to live your truth.
And we're asking you, Holy Father, that by your Spirit, that you allow the words in which your Son spoken be placed in our hearts today, and that the Holy Ghost would change us, and that we would never be the same when we walk out that door.
For we're here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah, Lord, if only we listen,
so that the Spirit of the living God can speak to these your people. Jesus, you are exalted in this place. Father, glorify your Son with the glory you two had before the world was. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You ever wonder why certain churches are so packed? Have you? I'm not speaking evil against churches being packed. That's not what I'm saying. But have you ever wondered, all of a sudden, a person, a little bit of scripture and a whole lot of rhetoric from man. And people are hopping to this stuff by the millions, literally around the world. And there's no power in the substance. Paul told the Corinthian church this in his very first letter. And you're going to get this in chapter 2 when you go and read that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, I did not come with you with fancy words, or words that's coupled with human wisdom, philosophy. He said, I came at you with the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Corinthians got. That's what caused these people to come out of idol worship and pray to the living God by sending his Son Jesus. It was the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit being preached in the living God by the man of God. And that's what God got to change in these people. But people today don't necessarily want to hear that because they are too comfortable in what they are. Okay? They want to justify their lifestyle by having a preacher tell them, oh, God loves you. God's not going to send you to hell because God is you. Then tell them God will condemn sin.
Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, will sin and judge you against you. If you oppose his writings, his sayings, his commands. So, understand this.
Jesus Christ will do whatever he has to make sure his church is pure, to make sure his church is holy. And he does not want false teachers in his church. He wants the truth being spoken. And I promised God a long time ago, when I was first a pastor, my wife would tell you, I stood in the pulpit, and I said, in the very first year, first service, and I said, I will not give you anything that's not the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
I will not give you from the pulpit what men write. Even though they write some good stuff, this is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is.
That's right.
And I made that promise, and I've been sticking to that promise ever since. And I also say to God that I will not use the pulpit to leech out at people, make an attack upon people, because this pulpit is designed for salvation.
That's right.
And deliverance and healing and holiness. That's what this is for. But if someone is teaching you erroneously, I will rebuke the false teachings. Because Paul said so in the Word of God.
That's right.
Call them out. He said, call them out. And they have nothing to do with them. Leave them alone. Even John, by the way. Go and read John's letter. Not the Gospel of John. Go and read 3 John and see what it says about false teachers. He said, do not let them in your house and do not bid them Godspeed. Wow. I mean, don't have anything to do with them. But we want to say, well, they need to be saved. Let me tell you something. You can't do God's work for him. Okay? You cannot. As much as you want to, they have made the decision to do what they want to do. You can pray for them and leave the rest to God. All right? All right, let's take a look. Acts chapter 15.
And certain men came down to Judea and taught the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses,
you cannot be saved. Now, this is after Paul and Barnabas then gone and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people, and they're getting saved. And yet, you got some foreigners who think they know more than Apostle Paul, know more than Jesus himself, know more than the Holy Ghost, come down and say, y'all got it all wrong. This is the way you got to do it. And they pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ with false teachings. And let me tell you, folks, you got to be careful who you listen to. Just because a thief is something for a certain minister, a certain supporter of the gospel person, you better check it out first. And know what they stand for, and know what they're teaching. And just because they got good programs for kids, good programs for teens, the last time I checked, this has been the best program for kids, teens, young adults, and old adults on the day God have it written.
That's right.
Yes, sir. And it hasn't changed.
Amen.
Entertainment does not save your children if it's what you feel good. But the only way you can get home, can you tell me how it changed your life? Can you tell me how it helped the family from committing suicide? How did it get a change?
Amen.
We're going to cast out demons. But there is nothing without a testimony that we can tell you if you're running a person in jail, a man came to the altar drunk and left sober and didn't even have the smell of alcohol on. Brother Jefferson, you remember him, Linda? A man who would not give his own wife the checkbook, a little drive in his hand. When Jesus saved that man that night, within a few days, brother, the gospel, that wouldn't happen. So these men came down teaching the law of Moses, that the law of Moses, because that's what we're saying, under the law of Moses, the man had to be circumcised. Well, everybody know what that is.
Yep.
At least I think. I hope so. Teenagers. Okay.
And it's a list of the listen, stay listen for salvation. You gotta get your stuff cut.
That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what Christ came to do. Even though Christ himself was circumcised on the eighth day. We're all aware of that. What saved you when he was nailed to the cross? And he said his what? His what? His what? Yeah. Okay? When he shed his blood. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, John writes there, and he washed away our sins in his own blood. Yeah, baby, go ahead and give me some. But you got people today, this wasn't just in John's day, Paul them day, because John was there, he sat on that council that they're going to go and see. That these people came with a false doctrine. It's happening today, people. All you got to do is turn on your television to certain inspiration channels and you see it all over the place. And I'm telling you, it is absolutely lucrative business for some of them.
Amen.
But Jesus Christ, by the Holy Ghost, is saying to his true followers, don't you dare touch that which is unclean. Because false doctrine, false teachings are unclean, everybody. Are you hearing me? Don't touch it. The guy gave me a Mormon book. You know what I did with it? I threw it in the trash. I wouldn't even bring it in here. I know I'm able by the power of the Holy Ghost in me not to let it influence my life. But somebody else may not be.
Yeah.
So, verse 2, therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had less love of searching and the Spirit with them, they determined that what? That Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders
about this question. So there was a great argument. It was a heated argument that took place between Paul and Barnabas and these false teachers that came down to Antioch.
This thing got over, Mr. David. And so the son of the matter, the first thing that you said, I tell you what,
y'all pack up, boys, and you go south to Jerusalem. Go and talk to the big boys of the church, the ones who walk with Lord Jesus. Because a lot of the apostles at this point in time were still alive. Only Jews have been killed. And watch what happens. Watch what happens.
So being sent away by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria. Phoenicia is one of the other men. Samaria is the middle portion of Israel, right before Galilee. So they're going south. That's what they're telling you. They're going south.
Describing the conversion of the Gentiles. So they're talking, Mr. David, along the way, what God has done with the Gentiles.
How God has saved people outside the nation of Israel.
Okay? These would be considered Gentiles. And they caused great joy to all the brethren. So as they're going down to Jerusalem, Shelley, they're testifying. They're telling people about the goodness of Christ, how he saved unbelievers outside of the nation of Israel. This is huge, everybody. That's what we should be doing. Every time Jesus saves somebody, we need to be bragging. We need to be telling somebody and celebrating that good news, that new birth of that person. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, which is huge. And they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the set of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Here it is. No matter what happens, you got a particular group of people who believe a certain way,
and they want people to believe the same false teachings that they believe. That's right.
And they will even go as far as tell you that you are not saved if you don't believe the way they believe. I've had it happen to me many times. You've heard it from you. Okay? But when you open up the Bible, the Word of God, and you say, well, what about this? Well, what about this? It said Jesus was bruised for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I believe I just quoted to you a section of Isaiah 53 about the suffering Messiah. His name is what?
Jesus.
So, well, what about that? I don't see anywhere in there where it says that a little cutting of the flesh what saves you. But it said a man had to be beaten, yes? And then a man had to be killed. Did it not say that? All for me, that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, God placed our sins upon him so that you and I can have peace with God. In that letter to the Colossian church, Paul also described that, even in Philippians, he said that
Christ made peace with God for us through his death on the cross.
Wow. That's pretty powerful. So what they're forcing our misery, what they're saying is that not only does you and your husband got to be circumcised, but you got to believe in the commandments, the law of Moses, known to us as the Ten Commandments, in order to be saved. Jesus said no. Because when he came, his very first sermon in Matthew chapter 5, he said, I did not come to destroy the law, which is the law of Moses, what I just talked about, or abolish it, or do away with it. He said, but I came to what? To fulfill it or uphold it in me. Why? Because you and I are incapable of what? Living according to God's law. And the law pointed that not only that it would save us, no, the law pointed that we needed a Savior. And that Savior would come into the future, and his name is Jesus. Okay? And so these men had decided to take upon themselves
and say, in order to be saved, we still have to live under the law.
Gentiles were never under that bondage. Okay? Never under the law. Not bondage, but under the law.
And so, here we have it in verse 6, and all the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter.
In other words, meeting time.
And they have been much dispute, you know, there's some back and forth going on. So we still got some people, some Pharisees that still don't hold on to this old way of thinking. And so they're going back and forth with the apostles, the ones that actually walked with Jesus.
And now telling them, you know, because that's what this thing means, right? That means there's two opposing sides. There are different views here about salvation. And the apostles are going, that's wrong. You're not saved by the law. The law points and says you're cursed because you can't live by it. So Peter rose up and said to them, and I imagine Paul and Barnabas had no idea that this was going to happen, that this old way of the Lord Jesus Christ stood up. Now listen to this testimony, because this is one that's going to be credible, and this is the one that the Holy Spirit uses the turning point to get this whole council to shift towards the Gentile and to support the ministry of Paul and Barnabas to signify that what they were doing is correct. Watch this.
So you should have been reading for me, but that's all right.
So Peter stood up and he said to them, men and brethren, we know that a good part of that God chose among us, that by one of the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe.
So God, who knows the heart, acknowledge them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And make no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you test God?
Whoo, that's pretty sharp, isn't it? By putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear.
I'm the one that better say, why do you want to be able to bear, or what do you couldn't bear? If the law was perfect, then it was the law for salvation. The law was perfect apparently to Christ, because they were sinners. And that they didn't have any perfect life before God. And Peter is saying to them, well, if they were able to learn about their life, how do you expect the Gentiles to learn? Why are they not going to try to do something that we couldn't do? Or our forefathers? What are they going to do with their forefathers? Those who are in the wilderness with Moses. They couldn't learn about it. What are they going to do? And we want these Gentiles to learn this one?
He really just called them hypocrites, didn't he? You want them to do something that you can't do. But I like what he told them. He said, why are you testing God? Why would you test God like this?
Because why did God save Jesus then?
If there was another way for salvation.
Why did Jesus have to go to the cross? Why did the Son of God in the Garden of
Gethsemane have to say, Father, if there's another way, take this cup away from me. And the word cup, literally when you see cup used in a sentence by Hebrews, that meant suffering. Cup was just a metaphor for suffering. It says, but not my will, but your will be done, God. And it did this not once, not twice, but three times. To make sure that he knew what he had to do. Everybody. And the suffering that Jesus would undergo, oh my God, for you and for me. And they wanted to void all that out by simply saying, go cut away some flesh and you'll be okay. No. Cutting away flesh does not take away sin. Okay? False doctrines does not lead you to the one that can take away your sin.
Only the true gospel of Jesus Christ from the Word of God
that's preached, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 10.
And so how can they believe if they don't hear? And how can they hear without a preacher? And all how beautiful the foot of those who carry the gospel. And when I look at my feet right now, and I look at the floor. And so, let's move on. Verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same way as them.
Peter said the same salvation that Jesus brought to us, he also is bringing to them, the Gentiles. And it is the same grace, the same gospel that went to Peter them by Jesus is also coming to us today. It has not changed.
That's right.
The gospel is still powerful enough to lead men and women to God's throne of grace, who God had, by God himself, approached them to his son Jesus. Because Jesus said in his talk with the Jews, he said, no one can come to me unless my Father who sent me draws him.
That's right.
That means that this man at the God to bring a sinner to Christ.
I can
save him. I don't care how well I can do things, how well you can do things for somebody. Our witness is not good enough to tell, okay, he's a sinner and he needs to be saved.
It just not going to happen.
It must be the work of the Father himself to tell, okay,
you're a sinner.
And you're not in right standing with me. But I made a way for you. I'm taking you now to my son Jesus. Jesus healed Harvey. And the Lord Jesus says, Harvey, I'm glad you're here. Because my Father and I love you. And this is the price that I paid for your sins. Take a look at this, Harvey. Look at the beating that I took. Do you see them nailing my hands to that cross beam? Do you see them nailing my feet, Harvey? Do you see me being raised up, as he told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 14? If I be lifted up, I will do what? Draw all men unto me. So, Arve, they're raising me up. Now, can't you see me hanging on that cross, Arve, for you? Oh, by the way, Arve, watch this part, Arve. Watch my Father take your sin and the sin of the entire human race and place it upon me. And Arve, I can't watch that. That's too. Arve, you got to see this, because this is what happened. God took your sins and the sins of the world and laid it upon me. I had no sin, Ave. I came into this world without sin. I am the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And as Ave is standing there watching that motion picture in his mind by the Spirit of God, he breaks down and said, Jesus, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. And I know now there's no other way for me to be saved but by you. And so, oh, Ave, I want, that's one other thing I want you to see, Ave. You need to look at this, Ave. You see how ever the sins are upon the cross? Look at my blood, Ave. It's wicked and disappear. The sins are disappearing, Ave. Oh, Ave, I just took my last breath. I just said, it is finished. Do you see Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea taking my body down, Arve? And they're wrapping my broken body in linen cloth? And they're laying it now in this tomb. Arve, I died up there, but I'm allowing you to see something that you hadn't seen before. And Arve said, well, what's that, Jesus? Arve?
Jesus, what is going on? Something's going on here, Jesus. That's my spirit. That's the real me. And something is going on here.
But where are you going, Jesus? Do you see that place of darkness
right there? Yes, that's my hell.
That's when I went into hell. Well, Jesus, who are those that are at the entrance of hell? You don't know who those are they? No. That's haters, man. That's hell.
Or the grave.
They just came to escort me into hell. Jesus, you did that for me? You went to hell for me? Yes, Harvey. But why?
Because I love you. So you want comfort.
That's what the preaching of the true gospel tells people. And Harvey,
did you notice 3 days just went now?
Yes, Jesus. Do you see something happening over here on hillside? Jesus, there's a lot of rumbling going on. Yes, Harvey. What's that noise? There's a lot of struggle going on in hell right now, Harvey.
Who's that? Right.
full of glory and honor.
That's it, man.
Yes, Arve. My father set me free. And where are you going, Jesus? I'm going back into the tomb. Why are you going back in there? Arve, you see my body laying there? Yes, it's wrapped up. Oh, look, but it's not wrapped anymore.
Jesus, what happened to
the bruises? They're gone. Jesus, what happened to the whip marks? Your bleeding wound, your flesh was cut open, Jesus. It's not there. Jesus, what happened to your body? It's perfect. Watch this, Arve. You're going back into your body. You are the Son of God, Jesus. Jesus sets up. So, Arve, you're right. I am the Son of God. Because only I can do this. Y'all getting this? And Arve lives now. And it said, Jesus, forgive me. I believe in you and I trust you with my life. And the preaching of the gospel must give a person that kind of picture that God's Son died for them. To save them from their sins, from the wrath of God Almighty. And that God delivered them in the grave, but on the third day, rose them from the dead. So, how are you seeing that? Are you seeing that in the scriptures? I'm seeing this. And so did you. And so did you. Living in a person who placed their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ have seen this and believe. And we are now trusting the Lord Jesus Christ with our lives. And so these brothers are really feeling this gospel. Because this is what we are here to be saved. And women and brothers. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul. Okay? And declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. So not only were Paul and Barnabas out there preaching the gospel, but God allowed them to perform miracles. They performed healing, and they cast out demons, and prepared the name of Jesus among these Gentile non-believers. Amen. And at the preaching of the gospel and at the performing of miracles, these Gentiles said, we believe. Yep. Why?
Because their faith in God has never done anything like this. Because they can't.
In Isaiah chapter 34, God says that no to do what he does. Because they're just dumb idols. They're lifeless. Made by the imagination of evil. And so these Gentiles have never seen the works of the real thing.
And they say that they were able to preach it and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I think that has a coincide with James' answer saying.
Now, James supposed to have been the residing bishop.
Somebody knows the Pope of Tours, yeah.
And so, James, the residing bishop,
you're speaking in this meeting.
Who once was an unbeliever, and they lived in the same house. But in John chapter 7, it shows us that. And then in Acts chapter 1, his name is written. Amen?
Amen.
And he's also the one that wrote the letter of James. So now here's the residing bishop, and he's going to stand up and talk. Listen what he has to say, and it's going to stand in your ears of his false teachers.
So they don't know from faith what the truth is. Listen to this. Simon has declared of God as the first visited the Gentiles to take out of their people for his name. If we read these multitudes of scriptures in the Psalms, Isaiah writes about it in multiple places, Jeremiah writes about it, then God is saying the Gentiles also. Now, James is talking about this. James is saying it. And this is the words of the prophet of Israel, just as it is written. Look at this now. And if you listen to this chapter 9, verse 11 and 12, watch this. And after this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, or the temple of David, or the house of David. Okay? The family of David. Now, that's not his immediate family, but he's talking about a language. Which has fallen down. I will rebuild his ruins. God said, I'm very people that will love you with their whole heart. Because for me, that is God's plan, God's dream. He's a man after my own heart. God said, I'm going to restore people with the people. And I will set it up so that the rest of mankind will seek the Lord.
Who's the rest of mankind? Gentiles. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. So go and read the book of Amos, and you will see that prophecy in there, and it's now being fulfilled. James quoted the prophets. You cannot refute that. Known to God from eternity are all his works. So God knows exactly what he's going to do, everybody. Do you believe God knew he was going to live with Caleb the way she is? Yep. Long before he left the world? Yep. We got you. Do you believe that God would save Brandon like he did? Yep. Long before he created Adam? Yes. He smiled because he loved you.
And so you see here, therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God.
In other words, don't we get in their way. Don't be division. Don't be a stumbling block. Get out of the way and let the work of God go through. Because that's what he was just quoting. And how can it be stopped? Amen? Sometimes we need to back up and allow the Spirit to show us things, and at times we need to shut our mouths and support certain issues and get out of the way. And let the Holy Ghost do his work. Amen? Because God's got to use whoever he wants to. The Holy Spirit's got to use whoever he wants to. If he's telling us to get in and get out of there and preach the gospel, we ain't got no business getting in the way trying to stop him.
Yeah. Really? Now, if Anna is really trying to say, Pastor, God's going to make a woman and talk to her and say, hallelujah, let's pray, and you've got to get your butts out there and do it.
That's right.
Amen? Because that's what it's all about. Therefore, I judge that we should not tell those who are not in Jesus to attain the God, but that we like to them to abstain from things deleted by idols. Okay? Anything that is used in order to worship, they should stay away from it. Okay? That's what abstain is. Stay away from it. It has nothing to do with it. All right, y'all ready for the rest? Teenagers, y'all need to hear this. Adults, from sexual immorality. Here's another way from a Hebrew standpoint of view to say this. Do not have illegal sex acts before God. Any sex outside of marriage is illegal. I'm going to get my words mixed up there. You don't have a right, Mr. Bailey, to have sex with another woman that's not Miss Marie, because she is your wife. You don't have a right, Miss Marie, to have sex outside of Mr. David because he's your husband. And doing so, you have just committed sin against God. You just committed a criminal act against God. Teenagers, look at me. You don't have the right to go and have sex unless it is your husband or your wife. If you do, it is against the word of God. You just sinned against God. And not just teenagers, single adults in here. Raise your hand. No, you don't. Don't put yourself on the spot. But you don't have that right to do that either. None of us. That's why y'all got to understand what this letter is saying. Keep yourself pure before God. Amen? Not because your other spouse is going to kill you, but because you're going to stand before God. But you still may get killed before you get there.
That's right.
Now, from things strangled, other words, don't take an animal and choke it to death and then turn around and eat it. Okay? That's what he was referring to. And from blood. Let me break that down. I know that I was going to do it. Let me break this down for you real quick. Under the Leviticus law, God says that you cannot eat blood because blood is the lifeline of the body. So when you kill an animal, you had to drain the blood from it. If you take blood out of Jesus, he's going to run away from you as fast as he can. Because he knows, I think it's in Leviticus chapter 11, I believe it is, where it says, don't eat things that strangle. You got to cut his throat, let it bleed out, and then you can prepare it. Okay? And then you don't take the same blood like they do in Germany, and they make bloodwurst or blood sausage. You don't eat the blood, because God said it is the lifeline of the body. Stay away from it. So the overall thing is that they said, stay away from things that's offered to idols. Stay away from sexual immorality. Don't eat things that are strangled. And don't eat blood. That's the only prohibition that this council put on Gentiles. Because Gentiles didn't know. Okay? Unless there was a, what they call a proselyte. That's a whole new story.
So Moses has filled out many generations, those who preached him in every city, being read in the
synagogue every Sabbath. So those who hear this would have known, even the Gentiles who converted to Judaism, they were called proselytes. So they would have heard this word also. They would have known this.
Then it pleased the apostles and the elders that the whole church of some chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul the Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading them among the brethren. In other words, these people were giving reports. Okay?
Do you want to give a report before them?
Everybody in here should say yes. We need to be leading them in the room. Amen? We do. And teenagers, we need to be the leading teenagers. We need other teenagers. We need other Jesus. You need to be the leading one, the ones who set an example of what we need to do in life. Okay?
But that's what Lord Jesus wants for his children. Even if you're in elementary school, there's a guard in middle school. What's the deal? You don't need to be doing what other children in school that are doing. You don't need to be the ones getting in trouble. You need to be the ones setting example, exactly example, really bad example. Okay? So this is beneficial for all of us. Even Kirby in this class, he needs to be the best kid in this class because he's going to use the children. Same thing for you. You need to be the best kid in your class because you're going to use Jesus. Scarlet, Aiden, Big Scarlet, Blake, Emily, Matthew, I can hardly hear it. Matthew, all of you. You need to be the best kids in your class because you belong to Jesus. That's the good news. The best news is that he's living in the world. He is because they belong to who? Jesus. They belong to God. And the best work of the other party because she belongs to who? Jesus. Same thing with Claire. Same thing with what's her name?
We're going to feel special because she is. And the same thing with Brother Amelia and Sister Vicki, and also for Crystal and her family, no matter who you are, you're the leading ones, okay? By the Holy Ghost in you. And so, as they close out this letter, they wrote this letter by them, the apostles. Listen to what the letter they're going to send back to Antioch. This is what the council is going to write, okay? The apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your soul or disturbing your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment.
So they didn't give it.
It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these,
you will be delivered.
So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brother with many words. So these two brothers also went there and they prophesied
over those people. And so these two people were blessing the people. God is going to work their own lips. The answer is he's going to do it over here. But God is going to do it over here because he's going to minister to these people.
Hello, I do not oppose prophecy. I do not despise prophecy. Prophecy is from the Lord. But if you're saying, well, thus said the Lord, and it's from you, shut your mouth, sit down. Stay seated. Amen?
Amen.
And so things begin to happen. And I just want to finish this out. So when they were sent off, what happened? In verse 33, and after they stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brothers to the apostles.
So some of them are saying this to the verse of the situation. They took a testimony of the apostles. Hey, things are going great. Okay? In verse 36, how does it seem good to say this to the new day? And you only hear about the leadership calling Silas later. That will all pop up again, everybody. Calling Silas. That will all come up again.
Especially in the next chapter. Listen
for the words. Paul is always also in the Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, the Holy Angels also. So you see, people, we're just supposed to be a very personal thing, preaching the gospel. That's why I told you and Brother Amelia and I told your sisters, get yourselves to pray and get up here and give a word.
from the Lord. It's not just the work of the pastor. The pastor's job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry.
Amen?
So it's everybody's responsibility.
Believers,
be prepared to get up on your nights and give a word.
Sometimes all day,
Pastor Sammy, can I teach Bible study? And we go, yes. I'm going, what are you going to teach? I don't know, but the Lord has showed me something. And you know what? That freshly new man of God opens up the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit has always been with him, and he brings a word to us. Okay? And so this young man, who under the authority of God at that moment can do it, so can you. But things wasn't always pretty among God's children. Because even though they had some dissension, some trouble from those outside of the church, there's getting ready to be trouble in the ranks in the church in Antioch. Okay? Let's see what that trouble is, and we'll close with that. He wanted to go see what happens to those churches that God had them set up, that Lord Jesus had them to set up. Watch what happens. Strengthening the churches. We'll close on this. It got nasty between Paul and Barnabas because a young missionary by the name of John Mark on Paul's first missionary journey decided he didn't want to go any further. He wanted to go back home. But John Mark didn't do that. He got tired. I guess he got homesick and wanted to go back home. But Paul said, look, you abandoned us on the first trip. And I guess he was thinking, what make you not want to abandon us on the second trip? And Barnabas said, no, we're taking him. And Paul said, no, we're not. And finally, they made the decision. Barnabas said, okay, you come go with me. And Paul took Silas with him. And they're separate. They're separated. But years later, they will come back together again. And you will see Paul mentioning John Mark in some of his other letters. They made up. Now, you want to know who this John Mark is? He was originally from Jerusalem. And he was the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. So don't tell me God can't grow you up. Because he did that young man. Amen?
Amen.
Every head bowed, I want to ask you, where do you stand today with the Lord Jesus Christ? Where do you want to be with him? Do you want to be one that's walking in his word, that really teaching and showing the world the truth of the gospel, showing Christ who Christ really is by the way you live? Are you one of the ones that like to keep trouble stirred up?
The real way to keep the trouble stirred up, then you need to come and let us pray for you. You need to repent. If you're trying to repent, you have to go. It is a family day, not just building. But a family day, if you start to pray, you're always
causing confusion. The Holy Spirit is not about that.
But if you never really trust the Christ also with your life, there's a time. There's a time.
And if you want to be filled with God's Spirit, then you come. Because Holy Spirit will enter you by faith and fill you afresh in Jesus' name and give you the power to be Jesus' witnesses. Come on up, Deacon. Keep playing, sis. You want to join on the guitar?
Yeah.
Marquise is here, is he gone? He's gone? Shelly, can you and her go and sing that song that she's playing? It's beautiful. Sing it very low. Can you join her? Listen to this word. It's a very powerful word. So Emma, you can join them. All y'all. You can tell the Lord that you love him. That's what this is all about. It's a love relationship between us and God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Tell the Lord you love him. Just sing it softly. You gonna preach with me, Michael?
Yeah.
Okay, hold my hand. And we're gonna talk to these people out there.
Okay.
They're gonna sing, they're telling the Lord. Can you sing it to the Lord right now? Tell him, say, Lord, I love you. Come on. Sing it with. Everybody sing this. Tell Jesus you love him. And I learned to follow only after you. Emily, I know you can sing. So you sing to your beautiful Savior. That's all right, ladies. Y'all got it. Jesus, we love you. You can tell him, say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Michael, tell him, say, Jesus, I love you. Yes. And he loves you too, Michael. Amen. Yes, Father, we thank you. And we love you, Lord. Thank you for being here with us today and giving us your word. Now strengthen us by your Spirit, Lord. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost and strengthen us to go out and to be bold witnesses of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anoint right now, Lord God. Anoint your people. Yes, Father. In the name of Jesus, yes. In the name of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus, Michael.
Jesus.
Yes, baby. It's powerful. Go, say it, Tucker. Come. I just wanted to dig in the field what it's like to be ready to give the gospel. All right, what's our... You're going to close us in prayer, and then we'll do our closing song? All right, brother.
Okay. Everybody bow your heads with me. For this day, for all these people gathered to worship you, thank you for giving us that chance. I pray that you stay with us and strengthen us throughout the rest of this week until we come again. Help us to learn more in your word and help strengthen everybody physically and mentally in your word, and please help people with their health. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.